I saw this very beautiful vort with some sofer, and it's such a nice vort. It says it's a one liner, but I think it's just so nice. It's literally a one liner. It says in the pasuk, "Gamanis shamati nakas bnei Yisrael." Because Baruch Hu says, "I also heard the nakas, the crying of Klal Yisrael." I heard the crying of Klal Yisrael, and that's why Baruch Hu starts the redemption process. Gam ani shamati. What does gam ani shamati mean? I also. What do you mean? Gam ani. I also heard. Who is also? Ani shamati nakas bnei Yisrael. But the pasuk doesn't say ani. It says gam ani shamati. I also heard nakas bnei Yisrael. What is the gam? So the answer is, I don't know why we didn't. Well, why don't we think of those questions ourselves? So I saw this Chassam Sofer. He's only quoting Chassam Sofer. He says as follows. He says, no, because what he's referring to is that people heard other people's crying as well and people's complaint. People didn't only suffer for themselves, but they were extremely bothered by other people's suffering, more so than their own suffering. And once they heard other people suffering so much, and it bothered them more than them, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gam ani shamati nakas bnei Yisrael. Because you care about others, and you're truly concerned about, look, he's schlepping so much, he's not well, and he's schlepping, and he's suffering, and he can't anymore, and everything. Because they were concerned about other people suffering, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gam ani shamati nakas bnei Yisrael. I also heard the crying of Klal Yisrael, and that's why you're worthy of redemption. That's why you're worthy of redemption. If other people saw us, bother you. Achdus, yeah. I thought that was a good, that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful deep thought, isn't it? I saw this Chassam Sofer quoted. I saw it in a weekly Dvar Torah sheet, and I think it's a very beautiful one. Yeah. Halik Chassam Sofer. Okay, yes. Today we're going to be talking about the Gartel. We're talking about the... Perhaps we can even mention, we can talk about the, do you really need to wear a jacket and hat for davening? We'll be talking about, generally, a belt. Do you need to have a belt for davening? A lot of those clothing zalochas. Let's get this very, 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 very often discussed topic. So we're up to Simon Sadi Aleph, Sif Aleph. Shiezo Yemosna Vechasi Roshu Bishas Tfila. So the halachas is, the title of these halachas are Shiezo Yemosna. How are you going to translate Ezoy? Ezoy Masnov. You should, what? Gerd, don't know what Gerd means. Probably like Ezoy, probably similar kind of thing, yeah. Yeah, so, Ezoy Masnov. V'chassiroshen, you should cover your head, b'shas tefillah during davening. So, see if Aleph, bottom line. Hoysotalis chaguro al mosnov lechassoysim mosnov lemal. Imagine you have got this garment from the thigh down. So it's literally covering everything, the lower part of the body is covered. Talis chaguro al mosnov lechassoysim mosnov lemal. So, this individual is wearing clothing, the lower part of the body is fully covered. Also, Leis Pal is not after daven Achi Chaselibo until your entire body is fully clothed. Fully, you got garment on top as well. Top of page 248. Vimloi Kisleis Liboy. However, Pediaver, if he didn't cover himself further, in other words, he was wearing from let's call it the belt area down, he was wearing something, but he was not wearing anything higher up. Or shenenas ve'en lebeman itzchase always an oynes. It has got nothing to wear for the upper part of his body. Hoil ve'kisei avosoi, since his ervo is fully covered. Ve'ispalan he daven so yotze is yotze. So we've got over here a bedyevet and a lechatchile. The lechatchile is to cover yourself completely from the shoulders all the way down till the shoes inclusive. You should be that's a lechatchile. Bedyevet that's a lechatchile. Bedyevet from mosnov down is ma'akev and your yotze, even if you're not wearing anything on top. Could be relevant sometimes, people go swimming, oh, suddenly say, oh no, I've got nothing else just before mincha, better to daven like this than not to daven at all, yeah.
What about, I've seen people in the summer months coming with, not shoes, but sandals, but with no socks, so you're there,
yeah.
Is that permitted?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question about if a person wears sandals without shoes, it's without socks, obviously okay, but without socks,
then
So the many poskim, and I could even say probably the majority of poskim say it's not a problem at all, it's fine. There is a mishnah which seems to indicate that it's not great, and it is however it is really boils down to the minhag hamakom. To what extent is it the normal thing to do to walk around like that? If it is a very common thing to do and it's not weird, they're not bizarre in any way, then it's probably there's more room for leniency. If it's very, very odd, so if you're living in Reykjavik or in Iceland, then people generally don't walk around with cocks without, so then it's probably more of a shaila than if you live in Tunis in Morocco. Yeah, so what you're referring to is similar to what you're asking, what Shlomo Zalman says about short trousers, which is very common and very normal and very thing. What about that? Short trousers.
Shorts
we can ask as well. Shorts, yeah, we can even ask about shorts. Shorts or probably short trousers, the same kind of shaila. So the based on what we're seeing now, what will be the halacha?
Elbow
is covered, but yeah, but it's fine.
I was confused by halacha because the ratio says, seems to imply that he needs to be covered from the matzah. It's still also in
Bidyevet.
And then the Bidyevet only speaks about Erva.
Yeah, so there is, you're right, there's a few levels. Yeah, so Lemaisa, the Bidyevet is going to be fine. So, but somebody just happens with shorts, or with swimming trunks for that matter, Bidyevet is fine. Lechatchila, you should cover more than that, but Bidyevet is fine. Now, short trousers, short trousers probably goes in the if some poets can say that it's not lechatchila, it's probably not in lechatchila status. Mishmuin Sefkot Na'alav explains the reason why we're meant to cover ourselves like that, and the Mishmuin Sefkot Na'alav says about the lime that tzorichu liroi is atzmoy, person has to see himself keilu oymit lifnei hamelech, you stand before the king umedaber be'emo, and you speak in with great respect. So if somebody finds himself in front of the king, he's going to find out what is a dress code in front of the king, and he's going to make sure not to go with shorts, or he's going to ensure to be covered on top as well, I suppose. He wouldn't go to, you know, to, so that's the law as well. So we're going to see more about this. That's the initial concept. Now, Siv Beis. Top of page 248. I'm going to translate it as follows. A person has to be ezoy, has to have a belt b'shas tefillah when davening. Even if you're wearing a trousers which has a kind of what's that?
Band.
Is that band? Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. Even if you wear something which is already holding the trousers. Nevertheless, you should wear a belt on top of that. Even if there is, you've got some sort of something ensuring that, but there's no problem of libereza ever. Nevertheless, you should still wear a belt on top of that. Mishum, because of hikoin. Now, hikoin is a concept of, hikoin really comes from the lashon preparing yourself. For davening. So there is a specific concept which we are encountering now. There's a concept of hikoin. Hikoin means get ready, prepare yourself, dress appropriately for davening. And just like you would probably get ready, and when you have an appointment with a very senior person, an important appointment, important meeting, you're going to ensure they're going to be dressed appropriately. Similarly, also when we daven, we should also have that kind of attitude and approach. Now, it's true we daven 3 times a day, but the concept is still the same. We should dress appropriately when we daven. Therefore, in line with that, the Shulchan Aruch said it's not good enough to have. You need to have a belt on top.
So that's
what we're learning. That besides the band that you may have, besides the separation you may have naturally, on top of that, you may have another belt because of the concept of hikon, of preparing yourself.
A regular belt
wouldn't
do the job.
Why?
The belt goes on top.
Right, so hold on a second. I'm going to finish Shulchan Aruch and address your very point. But other brachas, you can daven without additional belt. Because you've got trousers, and those trousers have already in them an extra level. Surely there's no problem with Liberesa ever. So what have we got over here? So when you've got the start, if you've got... So we've got to be halacha that ideally should have a belt on. If you've got just, let's start with the most. If you've got just trousers that are just holding themselves up, it's not great. You should try to have another cob on top. However, if you've got trousers which have something additional which holds an additional, maybe like the band. If you've got something that holds the trousers, then that's considered like a belt. And ideally, what you should have, a belt on top of that all to because of hikoin. Now, this is very clearly where the chassidim get the gartel from. That's exactly what it is. You have specifically a belt, if you want, a belt which is specifically there only for davening. That's exactly what hikoin means. Hikoin is a hikoin. Get yourself ready. Sew yourself out for davening. And it's interesting because out of all the Chassidish Malbush, if you think about the Shtam, you think about the Bekesher, you think about the hat, you think about all the things, most of them have got very, very little halachic background. And it's mainly about Minhag, or it goes somewhere in the world of Mesoira, of Minhag, or whatever you want to call it. But it's very little halachic reason to do so. The Gartel, out of all things, has got a very, very strong halachic basis. And this is it. In fact, it's such a strong halachic basis that it needs to be understood why we don't do that. Why don't we? It says explicitly, you may have something on top of the michnasayim, on top of the, you should have something on top of it, to, because of hikoin. Pardon?
Can you not take hikoin when it's not on top?
How are we going to do that?
You can put it on before you put your
jacket. Yeah, so... You may be right. I'm going to go very similar to what you're saying. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said very similar to what you were saying. But I just want to point out that it's interesting that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Zichroni Livrocha, the staple as well, they used to put on a gartel under the rekel, So underneath that, you would put the gartel on, underneath it. Interesting. The gartel underneath. And I think that the Israeli halachic, the hikoin brings that. Now, what you're pointing out, Rabbi Tepper points out, is that that's very similar to what Shlomo Zalman said. Why don't we put on anything extra on top? So I think that what the Shlomo Zalman explains is, because the question is a good question, why don't you put the gartel on? Why don't I put the gartel on? We don't put anything specific. So what they say is as follows. They say that when we're talking about these garments that we're discussing over here are quite different than the garments that we have got nowadays. Ours are much more measured and much more tight. The Arab dress, the classic Arab dress, is a robe. Now there you understand, there's no real separation between the upper and lower parts of your body. And it makes a lot of sense that you need to have something to tie it around it. Our trousers... Never mind the belt, but just the trousers are measured and tailored in a way that there is already some sort of separation. If you've got now a belt on top of that, you could argue that the belt, the leather belt that we may have, is something like a hikoin already. It serves an additional layer, which is like hikoin. Don't agree? Sounds a bit...
Perhaps.
Yeah,
it's... Hikoin is dafka for tefillah.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Unless you had that in mind when you put it on.
You probably didn't, yeah.
I think it's better belt, because belt can cost you like 20, 30 pounds. This string can cost you like pennies.
Okay, so should we... So we should all... You're saying we should switch to it?
Yeah.
It's cheaper and it's halachic, very sound. I think that is a very it's very hard to justify our minhag. It's really hard.
You could argue it's a hidden.
Yeah. Why? It's more. I see. Yeah.
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 We think there's an Indian that's going to be recognizable.
It's not, the point is not that it's recognizable as much as it's hikoin, you're doing it for tefillah. Hikoin is for, specifically for tefillah. We don't do that. We don't do that. Imagine somebody put before Shemayna Ezra, before Mincha, he takes his belt off and he puts it on top. You know what I'm saying? Why would you assess him with sugar? With the kettle, yeah. Kettle might qualify, yeah. Anyway, I think that it's something to think about. Now we are ready for Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel goes into another area of specific tefillah related coverings. Yesh oymim she'osu lo yitzi asko mepiv. Some say you know how to mention something like Hashem's name. Beroif shmegula with an uncovered head. Some say, I'm repeating that. Some say yesh oymim she'osu lo yitzi asko. You know how to mention Hashem's name. Mepiv from your mouth. Beroif shmegula with an uncovered head. What does that? What does that? What does that imply? V'yesh oymim, some say, pardon? V'yesh oymim, some say, she'yesh limchosh, lalikonis b'zakneset v'gilui roish. Some say, you've got to be moichiv, you've got to protest. Anybody walks into shul, walking into shul without a head covering, send them out. Send them out. Yes, I am. I am indeed. It is just, what we at Shulchan Aruch says, I'm repeating, some say that you have, when you say Hashem's name, you got to wear some sort of head covering. You can have your kapel, you can have your top hat. You can have your Mexican sombrero. You can have your turban. Whatever you want to have, but make sure you have your head covered. And some say that the add second layer of aloch is, some are more stringent, and they say that whenever you walk into shul, you got to make sure to have it covered. And if not...
Is that why people cover their head?
Very good. That's what Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us in a minute. Yes. Very good. I want to get to that. Very good. I want to get to that. These are valid points.
Anyone who goes into shul?
No. Isha is a question. We get to the Isha, but the Goy certainly doesn't apply. Yeah. So one second. We've got over here. Now we did mention in Siman Daled when we learned, which is already a few months ago, that it's not as simple as that, because there's another additional problem nowadays for us. Which is what? The Taz says, do you remember we spoke about that? The Taz mentions that since the Goyim nowadays ensure to, when they pray, take their hats off, so therefore, we must ensure to have our hats on. That's an extra chumrah. It's more chomu nowadays. Nowadays it's chukas agoy. They ensure to have their head uncovered. We make sure to have our heads covered. So it's not just the yesh oimrim. In fact, we've got to really make sure. Yes, I don't know their rituals. I really don't know, but the fact is that as soon as they walk into their tiflis, they will ensure to take their head coverings off. I know for a fact because the Moshe speaks about it. That's a good question. We're going to have to ask him. Yeah. No, I don't know what they. So now the Mishnah points out something that you're referring to. And say, gotten involved, Mishum Hikoin. Isa Bezoya Veschanon. It's always very exciting when the Mishnah Berurah brings a Zoya Kodesh. He brings something Kabbalistic. Let's see what he's quoting from Kabbalistic sources. Mandakoin Betzloisa Boilechsui Reshe. Somebody who goes up to Davan, Boilechsui Reshe, must cover his head, Ve'eino, and his eyes. When you Davan, you must cover your eyes. Begin the Loistakel Beshchinta, that I shouldn't be looking at the Shchina. And then the Mishnah Berurah explains, "V'ha'inu that is betalis shel mitzvah. Cover your head and your eyes with your talis. V'chein noyakin. And that is the custom, kayoim nowadays, lechasois to cover. Rosh, your head, ad until einaim, until your eyes. Yeah. Betalis mitzvah, with a talis, b'shas tefillah shmoyne esre for shmoyne esre. Yeah, I agree. Furthermore, somebody who does look with his eyes open during Shemoneh Esre, makdim olei malach hamoves v'choluda, he's bringing about chas v'shalom the malach. Very good. What about someone? Absolutely. Not only that, but as Rabbi Tepp points out, none of us wear talisim during mincha, besides the chazan. None of us wear talis during ma'ariv. So it's very hard to understand what his mishnah actually means in the Zohar Kodesh. You have to cover your shemoneh esrei. You cover your with the talis mitzvah. I don't know what it's referring to. Only shaches. I don't know. You can see that some rebbes, if you look at some chassidish rebbes, they'll do it literally. They cover their some of the rebbes. They put literally the talis over their heads all the way till the eyes. But it is an uncommon practice otherwise. They obviously daven with great kavana by heart. Pardon? Yeah, over the tefillin. Yeah, over the tefillin, all the way till he reaches the eyes. Pardon? Yeah, there is. But v'ro kol ha'aretz. But they probably mean that you're fulfilling the v'ro kol ha'aretz, which is a valid point. You fulfill that the rest of davening and not doing shemoneh esrei. This is something which is shemoneh esrei related. Absolutely, yeah. And I'm saying, even if mincha is a question to all of us, and ma'ariv also all of us, so it is I don't exactly know how to fulfill this. And also, what is strange also is the Mishnah Berurah says it's v'cher noegin and it's a minik. I don't believe that it's a minik nowadays. Okay, so this is but we're learning over the importance. So we're learning that of the importance of covering one's head during davening. Now, Mishnah as the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Dalet continues koivim, and what's the next word? The hats, and then what's the words in brackets? The hats, and what's the next word? Kapala, yeah, like a couple. Koivim, it says kapala belas, like a couple. Hakluim mikash, which are made out of straw. Okay, perhaps not so similar to what we've got nowadays. Although the ones when you go to the coastal, they give out these. Are they made out of straw? No, I don't know. They're cardboard. No, the ones they give that is cardboard, I think. Yeah. So if you're made out of kash, of straw, chashiva kisru, that's a fine and acceptable head covering. Yeah, it's fine. However, if you put your hands over your head, lo chashiva kisru, that is not considered a head covering. Hand over head, it doesn't qualify. Fine. Absolutely, that's fine. Because that's not your hand. That's a garment. What about if somebody else puts his hands over your head? So that he says, mashma, it sounds like the chashiva kisru, that's a fine, that's an acceptable head covering. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Yud base adds the following. Nowadays, we must cover during davening. You must wear a hat over your head, like you walk on the street. And not with a small head covering, which is under the hat. Because that's not the way you normally stand in front of important men. A sleeping couple. Okay, so this is this Mishnah Berurah has been very often misquoted. Again, so he says, what we have got, according to Shulchan Aruch, what do you need to wear? Shulchan Aruch says? Any head cover will do. So again, take your sombrero, take your turban, everything will do. Mishnah Berurah says, no, you need to wear, during davening, besides your hat, you must also wear the kapel. He says both. You need to wear a hat during davening. Do you hear that? You need to wear a hat during davening, Mishnah Berurah. But why? Why do you need to wear a hat? He says the reason, because that's the way you walk on the street. So therefore, exactly. So you could argue. So this is a Mishnah Berurah that has been pulled to both directions. You can interpret it according to your. There's two ways of interpreting this Mishnah Berurah. Some will say, literally, Mishnah Berurah tells us, you got to wear a hat. Besides the couple, you got to wear a hat. It says it black and white. But others say, no, 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 you're not reading that Mishnah Berurah properly. Because it says, you wear, it said explicitly, you wear a hat just like you walk on the street. Because in Mishnah Berurah's times, people wouldn't occur to walk on the street without a hat.
You wouldn't appear like that. You wouldn't
write. Yes, Anushchum, you don't go in front of important men without a hat. But nowadays, gentlemen, would you go, if you have an appointment with Mr. Sunak tomorrow, would you go with a hat or without a hat? You probably would go without a hat. I mean, you probably would go without a hat, unless you want to make a point. But otherwise, you would go probably. No? Would you go with or without? Yeah, but not. What would a goy do? A senior goy, would he go with a hat or not? That's how we're going to define it.
Well, if you go, if you get a knighthood from the king, for example,
would
you, all over you? I don't think when they go there, I'm not sure. I don't think they wear a hat.
Yeah, so I think nowadays a lot of people will go with a hat, not in order to show respect to this respectful, dignified person. But the reason why they want to wear a hat is because they want to show that we are from Eden and that's us, we're not going to, you know, we're going to have to change in front of it. But it's not intrinsic in order to show honor to this person. Nowadays, if you want to show honor, if you go to the king, you don't need to wear a hat. He's not going to wear a hat himself.
Queen's tea party, well, it's not going to be the king's, the tea parties
there. Yeah.
I see them all, all the men wearing.
Ah, they do? Oh, wow.
And that's when they're given. Honor.
Oh, I see. I see. All right. Okay. So there is something to it.
Hasn't completely gone.
Okay, that's interesting. But either way, I would strongly agree with those who say that this Mishnah Berurah cannot be taken out of context. It doesn't mean that you must wear a hat. It's just, generally speaking, what it means is that you have to go wear a hat. Keder, just like you would, it's the most dignified and respectful way to walk around. And if that's not the fact anymore nowadays, then you don't have to do more than that. So I would say, to wrap up, I would say, in priorities, in terms of gartel and hat, I don't know how you feel, but somebody once told me, and I think that's a very true statement to make, a gartel is quite hard to understand why we don't put gartels on. It remains a bit of a... It remains hard to explain. But a hat is very easy to justify, really. It's really hard. It's very easy to justify because the shoyish of it is, the shoyish is, keinochon leispalel, keiva berosh kedech shoylech berchoy. And if that's not the meaning anymore, then you could argue, pardon?
But you can argue that's the proper way to dress.
But the fact is that it's not, I don't know.
But also, if everyone does it, because that's how we daven.
Yeah, so maybe, but that's on a different level already. That's a different level. It becomes somewhere in the world of Mikon. Okay, we're going to learn a bit more. There's a bit more to be said about that, but we'll do that tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Okay, I wish you a very good evening and a very good Shabbos.